Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Living the Christian life can sometimes feel like riding a horse. Now, I haven't had a whole lot of experience riding a horse, but the analogy remains the same. Too often you can fall off the horse on one side or fall off the horse on the other, trying to overcorrect the error. And that is what we see in both our epistle lesson and our gospel lesson. The people of Israel had been sent away into bondage because they had chased after false gods. They had allowed their hearts to grow puffed up, and they spent 70 years in captivity in Babylon, the southern kingdom, the glory, the place where Jerusalem was, where David had reigned, was now captive because they had gone a harlotry, gone and chased after false gods. They had rejected the law, and God punished them for it. And so when they returned, they began to try to put hedges around the law. We're no longer going to use the name Jehovah or Yahweh. Instead, we will say Adonai, so we have no fear of misusing, of taking his name in vain. We will make such strict laws around the Sabbath that we cannot break it. Now, that's going to be an issue because of their laws regarding the Sabbath, not because of our Lord's law. God rested from all the work that he had done on that seventh day, and he declared it a day for his creation to rest. All of his children were called to rest. And even the sojourners who were with them, even their slaves, were called to rest on that day. But in order to put hedges around it for fear of breaking the law, they would make it so that even if someone was hurt or harmed, they would not help. At least that's what they try to trap Jesus in. So you can take the law too far one way. You can make law upon law upon law, declaring things that God has not made, and this is falling off the horse on one side. Falling off the horse on the other side is declaring that the law is of no advantage to us today, declaring radical grace, declaring that the law is no use for us as Christians. But how can that be? How can what God has declared to be good and what God has declared to be evil of no use to the child of God, to the Christian? Of course, they're wrong. It is a use. In fact, many of you should still remember from catechesis the three uses of the law. That God's law acts as a curb to keep us on the right path, so that we are not harming others. It works as a mirror to show us our sin. How do I know what's right and wrong? A, God has revealed it in the natural law in every man's heart, but also in his revealed word. And the third use or function of the law, as rule, or in the more modern translation, as guide. It shows us how we as his children are called to live. So yes, we could fall off on the side that is more legalistic, or we could fall off the side that says the law is not important, it is completely done away with, it matters not. Give consideration to the very first song in God's hymn, the book of the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Whatever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The law of God is good and wise. Sadly, we have whole denominations that have rejected God's law. They have rejected it for appeasing the culture, for claiming these are now okay for you to do, even though God's word very clearly dictates otherwise. Not just in the Old Testament, but also in the New. I'm a full respecter of the Old Testament. I believe it to be God's word, as should all of you. The New Testament speaks to these things as well. In fact, if you were listening during the epistle lesson, you heard a list of things that God very much abhors. What does he talk about? He says, the insubordinate, ungodly, sinners, unholy, profane, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, fornicators, sodomites. Sodomites should remind you of what God did to the whole city of Sodom and its neighbor Gomorrah. Their wickedness was so great that it reached up to heaven. It stank. Their desire was for the angels appearing as men to be brought out, that they may have their way with them all night long. The actual text here talks about abusers of mankind. Sodomy, so named for the sin of a man desiring a man as a man is to desire a woman. For kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, these things, God says, are not to be done by you, his children. And so when a church body leads not in the way of what God's word teaches, but instead in the way of feelings, instead of the way of the culture, this is abhorrent to God. It is an apostasy. It is a rejection of the faith. Let him be anathema, cut off. You have the scriptures. You should read them and know what they say. If God has declared it to be wrong, your feelings, my feelings, do not matter. We are the church of Christ. We are to submit to our head. The bride of Christ is to submit to Christ, the bridegroom. Pastors are not free to say what they think, to say what they want or desire. They are bound as ambassadors to a king to proclaim what the king has proclaimed. And yes, people get mad at pastors for doing just that. But I would rather have someone else mad at me than to have God mad at me for not doing it. And so we must work to strive toward reading our scriptures, to know what God says. We do not follow the law because we somehow think we can save ourselves if we follow it close enough. No, we see the law to show us that we need Jesus. We are sinners who need a Savior. And the scriptures show us who that Savior is. There is the only hope for us and for those who are outside of the church. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. He is the only hope of salvation. I thank Christ Jesus, St. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, even Jesus Christ our Lord, toward this sound doctrine, toward this true teaching. Yes, you can fall off the horse on one side and condemn Jesus for restoring that which was broken, for taking away the effects of sin in forgiveness. And you can fall off the horse on the other side by saying that the law is not important and completely useless to the Christian today. But according to this glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, this is committed to Paul. This is committed to Timothy. It's committed to every single pastor that has ever stood in this pulpit or the pulpit of our old church or the church that came before it. It is entrusted to every single man that God ordains to the office of the holy ministry. It is not a childish task, but it is a good one. Good, not because of who I am, not because of who the man is, but because of how good the God-man is. He opens the mouth and he proclaims. He feeds you with his word. He feeds you with his body and his blood. He nourishes you and washes you as you remember that you are a baptized child of God. So no, the law cannot save you, but it is good and wise. The church sings. To Jesus we for refuge flee, who from the curse has set us free, and humbly worship at his throne, saved by his grace through faith alone. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.